Welcome to Bitch Talk, booze and interviews straight from the heart of San Francisco. I'm Erin. That's Char. She's eating a pretzel.
Hello.
We have a special guest today, but before we get to that, find us at bitchtalkpodcast.com. You can also find us at bff.fm every Monday morning from 5:30 to 6. You can also find us at your local bar. We are still sitting at Willkommen. They haven't kicked us out yet. It's been a few days, so... I have to say the pretzels and the beer cheese and the mustard are delicious. So thank you, special guest, for recommending that. Our special guest today is a friend of the show.
You're Willkommen.
Wow. I also have to live with him, and he's my roommate. He's also the creator, founder, producer, host of the podcast called Storied San Francisco. When I looked up the last time we talked about this, it was basically 2 years ago. You were on the show talking about this, and we were at another beer garden.
We were.
So this is a thing.
Was that German themed?
That was the last time you were on the show?
Yeah, which is weird.
I mean, not really. Okay. He's chimed in when he's around.
Okay.
It's not weird that I haven't been on since then. It's weird because that feels like 3 days ago.
Yeah, but like, we're like, it had to have been. No, I was the one that was like, it's probably at least early last year.
Yeah.
But then we found out it was November 2017. Anyways, we want to check in about your podcast. How's it doing? You're on almost season three.
I mean, yeah, a couple of things have happened since last we talked, including thank you, Char, for recommending the upgrade to the H6.
I tell everybody, well, it's funny because I suggest certain equipment or I give certain suggestions, and usually everybody will always get like the lower grade suggestion, like, you know, like quote unquote on a budget suggestion, when like I secretly lean towards I want everybody to get the H6, and then when people realize that that's what they need or that's what they want, they you know get the opportunity to do so, and then I'll be like, your life is gonna change.
Totally.
and everybody has gone, yes, it is a game changer.
Right.
Well, I've had mine for like 2 or 3 months now, and first of all, I noticed the difference. But now when I record, it feels like I'm a gearhead because other people are like, oh, you got the H6. Like, people know what it is.
Oh, how
that
funny.
Didn't happen with the Tascam.
But
yeah, but that's getting ahead of
everything. Like, but that was, yeah, that's funny. We were in Reno.
Yes.
A couple, that was, was that 2 years ago?
You are.
Yeah.
Summer of 17, yeah.
Yeah, that was. Yeah.
2 years ago?
Yep.
Yeah, we were in Reno and we were doing our little pub crawl, and you and I were
200.
We were talking shop.
Yep.
And now here you are, over 100 episodes later.
98, to be technical. Not 98 released yet, but we have wrapped up 2 seasons of 49 each.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations. So,
thank you.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, probably like, so let's preface this as, I think as podcasters, podcaster producers, like in the realm of podcasting, there are always people that will come up to you and talk to you about podcasting. You're like, oh, I want to start a podcast. Mm-hmm. I want to do a podcast. How do you do that? A, how would you answer that question?
And two-parter.
And B, what have you learned since you've been podcasting?
Oh, God. Well, first of all, I'd send them to Char. I mean, honestly, at the risk of embarrassing you, Char, you did help me like tremendously with the advice of like the gear that I needed to just get out the gate. I had the idea, and I think that speaks to both parts A and B. It's like having a good idea, I think.
Right.
Workshop your idea, talk about it with friends.
Right.
Make sure it's, you know, not just living in your head as a good idea, but that it's actually something that might resonate with people. And I think the impetus for Storied San Francisco, we felt like, and by we, I mean me and Michelle.
Who's Michelle? Like,
oh, Michelle Kilfeather is my partner in Storied San Francisco. She... art director, photographer, she basically handles all the visual aspects of the project. We felt like the idea of salvaging or preserving some of the great people doing great stuff in San Francisco was worth it and was a worthwhile endeavor. As an ongoing, we don't know how long we're going to be doing this because there's so many people doing so many wonderful things. So, what I've learned, I mean, do you have all day?
No, we have like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess on my own.
How about like give top two pieces of advice and then top two things you've learned?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things I'd say I'd learn is very specific to how we run our show, which it's, we sit down with giant microphones and headphones and everything, but we try to keep it conversational. Not like a Q&A type of interview, because I just feel like the best stories and the best information comes out that way. And I feel like we've been successful at that, and that I've had to learn how to do that. Big learning curve, because the back and forth of going with the flow, and also knowing as much about a person as I can ahead of time. Sometimes I actually let back on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go in just knowing what I know and leaving the openness in my own mind of learning about them as we're sitting there recording.
Right.
Has been awesome for me, at least. I hope my listeners like it.
I think for hosts, that is one of the biggest things that you have to learn how to do and is a very big key to podcasting in particular, because podcasting is a lot different than broadcasting or news reporting or anything or that kind of journalism, because you are doing, you're like kind of talking at people.
Right.
And in podcasting, you're having a conversation where you're including, you want to include your listeners in. And so you want to have a conversation that they feel like they're a part of.
Yeah.
And so as a host, you have to train yourself to be able to go, I need to be a leader and direct and follow this conversation.
Totally.
But you also don't want to be that person that's, you know, barking back and forth.
It's funny, between seasons one and two, and this, a lot of it was directly related to Michelle's feedback. You know, when we wrapped up season one, we're like looking at what we did, what we liked, what we did, what we wanted to change moving forward. In season one, when I would sit down to edit, I would edit as much of myself out as possible. I was of the frame of mind of like, I just want it to be about my storytellers. And Michelle's like, no, I really like your the banter that you have. And so I started leaving that, not all of it, of course, but I left more of myself in season two. And I think people like it.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers are like that. And just the feedback that I'm getting, and so.
Yeah, well, people like being, I think it's a fly on the wall. I think that's what everybody loves. Everybody loves like that. Being sucked into a situation.
Yeah.
And when you're listening to somebody have a conversation like that, that makes time go. You know?
Yeah.
You don't realize that it's been 45 minutes how some of our conversations.
Right.
Have been.
So like I was gonna Mendoza. Say H.P. Mendoza, but also
love you.
Yeah, we miss you. But we just did one at the Old Ship Saloon last week, and it ended up, we're like, okay, because also we were tired, it was 10 o'clock at night.
We didn't think we were going to record.
No, and it was like 45 minutes.
Let alone record for 45 minutes.
Right. Plus, it's like, we see each other pretty often. Granted, Ange is in and out, but I never think that we have 45 minutes of conversation to fill, and then all of a sudden it was. We're like, oh, shit, okay.
So because I do a little bit of what you do, and I do a little bit of what you do, the other problem... good problem to have when you run, and it's easy for me because you know I love to talk.
Yes.
Is that I'll be having such a good time. This happened in season two so many times. Having a good time with my guests, and I look over and it's like an hour and 20 minutes of
audio.
And
he has to edit that.
And I'm like, there goes my next 4 weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You asked about things I've learned. That's one thing I've learned is I'm not going to keep a timer. I'm not there yet. But just to be more mindful of my own.
Oh, yeah.
Literal ability to edit and make it good.
That's funny you mentioned that, because I've had other shows and other clients where they're so into the conversation and they think that everything that they talked about is gold. But it is. But they're not the editor.
Right.
No. See, you get it because you're the editor.
Yes.
And so they'll give me, one time I remember, I have a couple of shows that do that to me. They come to me and they give me like, we talked for 2 hours.
Thinking it's a rad.
And you're like, that is 4 months of episodes, so thank you.
Why do you hate me?
Yeah, I was like, and it was all good, and we just kept going. And I'm like, I'm all for, like, I don't like to you know, put things in a kitty box and go, yeah, we're totally out of time, let's cut it. If something's going well, I like things to breathe. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, like you said, you've got to be mindful of, like, how there's going to be a point where you're running into a wall of what's, you know, like, it's not that interesting anymore.
And also, I was going to say, people's, what is it called? Because I can't pay attention right now. Their attention span. There, thank you. Well, the music is, like, seriously throwing me off for a minute. But their attention span is what? Maybe if on a good podcast, if you're lucky, 45 minutes, maybe.
Right.
And it's depending on a lot of factors, right? Because you're thinking about, well, they're probably listening on their commute to work. But how long are people's commutes to work anymore? Maybe they just are sitting at home working. Maybe they actually sit on a train or a bus or whatever. But maybe that's only 30 minutes. Or maybe they're in the car for 2 hours. But do any of us want to listen to a conversation for 2 hours? Unless it's Obama or, like, fucking, I don't even know who else would blow my mind that I'd want to listen to. Bourdain, maybe, back in the day. I would.
No, but you might want to be part of a conversation that's that long. I'm talking about unrecorded, just having, if
right,
you're having
if
a good
conversation.
If we're
sitting at Vilkomen and, like, drinking for hours, sure. But that's...
And every minute of that non-recorded conversation doesn't have to be compelling.
Right.
But as soon as you open that microphone, it's like...
It better be.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people will fall off, too.
Yeah.
They're like, this person records for 2 hours, and then they just release it, and I listened to 10 minutes, and I was bored. So anyways... Yeah.
One last quick major thing that I this is just kind of how I think about our project. I've gone from merely thinking of it as, you know, an audio show with photo component, as shifting that into thinking about it as an ongoing documentary,
right,
of life, of art, sometimes of business. I've had some small business owners, lawyers, doctors, it doesn't matter. I feel like what we're doing is documenting now in San Francisco.
You're capturing what's actually happening here right now by all the stories. I don't mean to ask you what are your favorites, because it's like, if we, like, out of our dogs, you can't really name a favorite. Oh yeah, we're engaged. We're a couple, if you didn't know that. He's not just my roommate. But sometimes. But I mean, can you pick a top?
Yeah, let me just randomly choose something. I'm lying. I'm reading. It's like my Oscar acceptance speech moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You're pulling out
so
your
I'd
notes.
Like to think.
Yeah.
No, from season one, some standouts for me: Alice Murphy, Grandma Murphy, who at the time of our recording was 100 years old, born and raised in San Francisco. And she was the third or fourth. I can't remember generation. So, like, deep, deep roots. An amazing woman.
And can we talk about her for a minute?
She sadly passed away.
She sadly passed away, but she was also a figurehead in my life. Because it's my best friend's grandmother, who I'd known since I was 10. So I think it's really special that she agreed to do it. Because also with podcasts, if you ask people to be on a podcast, it doesn't mean they're going to say yes.
Right.
Ours is a little different because the people that we interview want to mostly publicize what they're doing. But for you, you're asking people to share
a lot of private citizens'
stories. Mm-hmm. So I'm so happy that Alice said yes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she has passed away since then. So her family is really appreciative of that, what you captured from her. So
And I'm honored that I was allowed to do that. We had a great time with her, and I'm thankful for it. Some others from season one that... come to mind. Ed Wolf, who is an incredible storyteller.
Yep.
He actually does storytelling. And he worked at the San Francisco General Hospital's AIDS ward back in the day. That I think maybe AIDS already had a name, but he worked with, like, early hospice efforts around AIDS patients. Giants photographer Andy Cuno.
I love
really
Andy.
Really special for me.
He's been on the show before. And actually, we should bring him back on, because he was going to make us cookies. That's what I remember from his interview.
I mean,
he was supposed to bring his rings.
Well, rings and cookies that had bacon fat in it. I was really interested in that, Andy Cuno.
And whatever he does, he'll show up on a skateboard. He's rad.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
So going from Andy to Randy Burns, founder of Gay American Indians. Super amazing guy. He's been in San Francisco from his original homeland tribe up in just outside of Reno since the 70s, just doing really great work, advocacy, not only for the American Indian community, but specifically with gay American Indians. Filmmaker H.P. Mendoza, second.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. LaVey Smith and her guy, Chris, were really special.
Who play every Sunday evening at the Royal Cuckoo in the Mission. So if you're ever in the city, it is like the best place to see, I think personally, one of the best places to see music kind of on a weeknight.
Yeah.
But super mellow. There's no cover. You just give them a tip.
That's a guaranteed gig. They often, almost every week, do more than that. So they're great.
They played for President Clinton.
They did. And then the last season one name drop I'll do is also a friend of Bitch Talk, Laura Meyer, Pizzaiola, who has since moved out of the pizza kitchen.
I know.
And is now overseeing, it's like Northern California kitchen operations for all of Tony's.
She just won an award recently,
She never stops winning awards. Yeah. It's just constant.
But she, the reason why she was on, well, obviously, but one of the reasons why she was on our show was she was the Pizzaiola. Basically, that's like the head chef of a pizza kitchen at Tony's in North Beach. And Jeff knew her from before, and was like, you should have her on the show. And we did, and she was great. And she just keeps winning all these fucking awards for pizza. And we're like, can you just come back on and bring us pizza, and we'll talk about all of your awards?
Yeah.
And her big old promotion. But she's rad.
So one other thing we did between season one and two, we had our first... show that I guess that we did. We were also part of Reimagine back in 2018 in April. But the first show that we kind of did on our own, we showcased 17 different photographers, painters. We had a couple of sculpture pieces. That was amazing. We had an art opening on Friday night that was very well attended. A lot of folks sold their art. It was great. The second day in the same space, we had three storytellers. During the day, I think at that point they had already been on the show. And that went really well. And then later that night of day two, we had three bands play. So it was a two-night kind of thing.
You blew it out of the park for that event, but also it was a lot. And also it was the week of fires.
Yes.
In California. And
the week after our good friend passed away.
Yeah, our good friend passed away. So it was a lot that week. It was about a year ago.
But
people came, they donated, they bought art. It was fantastic.
It was amazing. And it was that great feeling of having the first one kind of done.
And also very grassroots.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do in the city.
We had a lot of help from Alice Murphy's son, Jim, who's also been on my show.
Yeah.
We learned a lot, and we learned what we liked, what we did, and we learned what we would do differently moving forward. But that show served as a kickoff for season two. And I think somewhere in the middle of season one, we set out to be a weekly podcast. Somewhere in the middle of season one, we decided we're going to need some time off. How about we give ourselves 3 weeks off and call it 49 episodes as a season? Because that's kind of a big number around here.
Well, and also, it's San Francisco's 47 by 7.
It's 49 square miles.
Right.
Founded by white people in 1849.
Right.
There's a football team you might have heard of.
Yeah.
That's based on that year.
But are not located in San Francisco, by the way.
We don't need
They're
to talk
located
about that.
How many miles south?
But people relate. Also, there's this weird thing that I've noticed. A lot of bars and restaurants, usually on the smaller end, but matter what their size, the occupancy, maximum occupancy will be 49. And I'm like, that can't be an accident. Can't be an accident. Anyway, that just seemed like a good thing to do. So we set out season two with that knowledge of we're only going to do 49. I shouldn't say only.
Yeah,
But we knew
Hustling.
That. Okay, can I do the second Oscar speech?
Yes, you can.
Okay, real fast. We started early in the season, K.R. Morrison.
Ooh.
Has she been on Bitch
She hasn't
Talk?
Been on Bitch Talk, but I booked her for That's What She Said.
And she's great.
And she is fantastic, and she's a poet, and she's a musician. And
a school teacher.
Don't forget.
Yeah,
right, but
somehow.
Her poetry really like knocked the socks off of everyone at the That's What She Said show. So I love her, and yes... We will have her on the show.
Yep.
We have a lot of weeks to fill before before Captain Party comes back. So KR would be great.
Yeah, she would.
That is a
new task. We have task. Until 2020. Until
we discovered that we have a new task. Yeah. Of filling.
Yeah.
Of filling time.
After yeah. party
until party returns.
Yeah, until the party returns. Anyways, yes, K.R. Morrison. Yeah.
San Francisco, and maybe even bigger than that, music legend, because he makes amazing posters for shows, Lil Tuffy.
Right.
We had him on the show. I knew his work, and so fully, like, going into that, I expected him to be this, you know, maybe kind of standoffish, super too cool for school punk dude. He ended up being the sweetest, most down to earth, super awesome guy. He was great. We started doing a couple of series that I wanted to mention. We teamed up with La Cocina,
right.
Which is based in the Mission, and they help women of color, low income women, who already maybe know how to cook, and maybe actually a lot of times bring family recipes to their projects, and they help them to open their businesses, whether it's a food truck, whether it's a catering business, whether it's an actual brick and mortar spot. They connected us with three of their entrepreneurs, as they call them.
Yeah.
And I mean, all those ended up leading to to other podcast guests we ended up having on the show. It was just a really, really good experience. Another series we did was Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Right.
Which I was almost from the day I moved here 20 years ago, I'm like, they're special and awesome and very unique to San Francisco. They exist in other cities, but I was lucky enough to meet someone who connected me to a couple of them, Sister Roma, Sister Mary Media, and Sister Annie Cockledoo. Very, very serendipitously, I was connected to a few of the folks who live down in Mission Creek on houseboats.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I just put out some psychic signals, thinking I would actually do the legwork to find these people. And as it happened, the universe sent me this dude, Bowen, who connected me. And then Sarah Davis has connected me to thousands of other, not literally thousands, but... Yeah,
100, just at least 100
incredible
people.
Stuff. Yep. Another friend of your show, hip hop blogger Joy Ng.
Oh, Joy. Yeah.
Joy did hers.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. Avengers singer. Avengers is they've been around for 40 years now. They're a legendary punk band. They played with the Sex Pistols here at the Sex Pistols' last show in the U.S. Her name is Penelope Houston. She works at the SF Library. Doing a punk archive there. That was great.
I feel
great.
Like she's doing a job you would want.
Absolutely.
You would,
collecting flyers and zines and posters.
Yeah.
It's just, and connected with that, the San Francisco archivist, Susan Goldstein.
Another job you'd like to have.
Found us somehow.
Yeah.
That was the moment I was like, I think we made it. The archivist found us. That was really cool. And then I don't want to forget Uncle Damien.
Yeah. So you're talking about Uncle Damien. Did you actually meet him on the red carpet?
Yeah.
Last
Because he was
in
wearing
San Francisco?
A head-to-toe Muni outfit.
Yeah, so...
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
So, it's funny. So, you know, this movie came out, The Last Black Man in San Francisco, and we heard about it at Sundance and weren't able to get interviews. Not bitter at all. But then they had this huge opening at the Castro Theater, not far from where we're recording right now. And it was kind of huge. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those red carpets that just doesn't quit. And so it was Jeff's first and only so far red carpet, right? And so you didn't end up doing interviews. You were just kind of there taking photos for socials.
Photos.
Your photographer's taking photos for story. And it was crazy.
Yes.
But you met Uncle Damien in a head-to-toe Muni ticket outfit? No,
yes.
Muni uniform.
It was a jumper.
Yeah.
With another... There was just layers and layers of Muni that he was wearing that night.
And you connected with him, and he was on your podcast, and he was super stoked.
And, I mean, he's...
And really sweet.
He's like the most positive person maybe I've ever met.
And he's been to prison.
Oh, he has the most insane life story.
Yeah. Do you have one more person? Sorry.
Just one more. I can't not mention Sherry Franklin from Mudville.
Oh, yeah.
Also kind of
Dog
the
adoptions.
Universe kind of delivered her to us.
Because you were talking about them and I think maybe Rocket Dog, who you haven't gotten to yet. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The joke that you, I think it was a joke, you're like, go to record her, but you're not allowed to come home with any dogs.
I was like, we can't have a third dog. Like, don't do it.
It might be that I go to record her and then just never leave. Because the thing with Muttville is that their dog, there are no cages at Muttville. So it's just a few floors of offices and dogs
and
everywhere.
Just dogs running around.
And Sherry's super, super awesome.
And
not only the work she does, but...
really interesting.
Yeah.
How she did that.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to have you on, obviously, to talk about Story San Francisco. Reimagine in a Life's coming up. We're a part of it on the 29th of October. But you'll have a show up the entire run of the show. Actually,
that's
a little
right.
before and a little after. But I wanted you to talk about that and talk about the theme.
Yeah.
Because what I was going to say was, too, that Reimagine in a Life isn't always just about human lives.
It's individual
about,
human, yeah.
It's about maybe culture.
I have to give props for our specific show that's coming up to Derek Hosberg, who's also a friend of your
both
show.
Shows,
wow,
yeah.
Imagine that. We share a lot of guests.
Yeah, imagine that.
No, but I initially was like, I don't know what to do this time. I've done Reimagine before. I had a good time.
Yeah, you were having
and I was just kind of at a loss. And also we, Michelle and I, were at the time planning to do our show around this same time, and I was like, I can't handle two shows. So, Dara, if you're listening, I was ready to not do this.
Right. You and I talked about it before you went to talk to Dara.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Right.
So we had an idea.
It's been a hot topic.
Right. You're wearing the shirt.
I am literally wearing the shirt right now. You're killing the city, which is a very definitive statement, and some of you all are, but you're probably not listening to this show. Anyway, we came up with the idea, and the name is of the show that we're doing is San Francisco Dying. And we didn't want to necessarily answer that as much as really leave it an open question. So what we're doing to that end, in a little space at the Laundry, which is Reimagine's hub, we're going to have a little listening station with 20 of our past storytellers, excerpts of their podcasts, which when listened to at length, or if someone wants to go in and listen to all an hour and 50 minutes of it, go for it. We think tells a story that, well, tells many stories, but it tells a story of San Francisco from different perspectives, different ages, different backgrounds. And then those same 20 folks, we'll have Michelle's photos of them up on the wall as a little art show. And then the part that I'm maybe the most excited about.
Mm-hmm.
We have a 5-foot by 5-foot color map of the city that we're going to invite people to write down and share memories. And it can be places they used to go to and loved that don't exist anymore. It can be places that they're nervous are going to be leaving us, because that happens on a daily basis now.
Yeah.
We're going to invite people to, if they want to share photos and leave them up on this map. So the idea is location-based memories, so that we hopefully will end up at the end of this show with a map covered, and we'll be like, this is why we live here. This is why we're here, because there's stories. And they're ongoing.
And is your ongoing event / art show, is it free to the public?
It is, yes. Okay. And it's actually going to start, we don't have an exact date yet, but a little bit before Reimagine kicks off. And it's going to stay up after Reimagine closes for maybe another week or 10 days.
Okay.
So they've graciously given us that space.
So nice.
It's super nice.
Cool.
It's going to end up being up for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Cool.
So, yeah, we're really excited.
Aww.
Yeah.
Can you tell the folks where to find StoriedSF?
So we have a website, storiedsf.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Please follow us. We recently launched our YouTube channel. Please subscribe. And all the audio of starting a couple months ago is there. And then all the usual places you find podcasts, Apple, Google, iHeart, Stitcher, Spotify. Yeah, lots of places, y'all.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks. See you later.
Yeah. See you at home. You can find us at bitchtalkpodcast.com. You can find us at bff.fm. We are powered by GoTo Productions. And we'll see y'all later. Bitch, please.